This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Oh, where do we begin? There's a lot to talk about. Good morning on a Monday. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass, Dustin Fioco on the updates. Busy weekend.
It sure was. Lots going on.
We're going to go rapid fire out of the gate here, dive in deeper as the show goes on, but I think we have to start with the Pistons.
I guess I'm going to be wrong. They will not win it in six. It's going to have to be seven if they're able to.
If.
It's just too bad that Doc Rivers isn't coaching the Knicks. You'd feel like you have a better shot.
You can get it to seven. It's basically over.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of focus today is going to be on the officiating. They admitted they screwed it up, should have been a foul, but that does nothing for anybody. And I think people fixating on it need to realize that this game was bigger than that call. If I tell you the Pistons have an 11-point fourth quarter lead, crowd is raucous. I was there, the great environment. People whipping the towels, yelling defense. You have an 11-point lead on your home floor in the fourth quarter, and you lose. You have 11 seconds left in the game with your star player with the ball in his hand, and he misses the shot. John, to me, that's the bigger deal. I know there's going to be calls for officials' heads today, and I would just ask you guys, like, if we're going to be this Detroit basketball, if it ain't rough, it ain't right, tough and tumble, swallow the whistle, play the game, then you can't sit there and whimper at the end begging for a foul call. Make your shot. Don't blow an 11-point lead.
Well, I mean, Cade had a great look at the basket. It's, 7 seconds left? And that could have been the shot that even the series.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. There were shots before by both teams that could have been made that would have separated things. And you mentioned it. It was an 11-point lead in the fourth quarter. You've got to find ways to finish out the game. What did we talk about from game one to game two? You've got to be able to finish out a game. And they did that on the road. That's what their one win was. In the playoffs, unless you can finish teams off, when you have leads, you're going to end up like this. And I think it shows the experience that New York has versus the lack of experience the Pistons have.
I think that's one great way to present it. The other thing that we should probably acknowledge in all of this is the only win the Pistons have in this series is the game where Karl-Anthony Towns went ghost.
Yeah, over in the second half.
He comes on the road, back-to-back, really good games. He hit two tough shots in the last 2 minutes last night. Oh. Again, on the road, a true running mate for Jalen Brunson, a true 1-2 punch. Meanwhile, Cade, who I really like, has to shoulder all of it, misses the shot. He can't defer to a Karl-Anthony Towns in the final 2 minutes of the game. That's as big of a deal as the inexperience is they still need that extra piece. Towns has changed the series, both when he didn't deliver in game two and when he delivered in games three and four.
Yeah, I mean, when you have a big man that zeroes in on the basket, you know, 4 feet, 5 feet behind a three-point line when it matters most, he just says, you know what, I'm gonna yak up this shot, and it goes in. Like, I mean, at that point, you're like, what are we supposed to do?
He hits a contested baseline jumper, and then you're right, step
over
back
the
three,
backboard.
yeah, and then a step back three from a guy that big. We're gonna spend more time on it at 6:35. Pistons basketball. Pistons lost. Pistons interrupted your Tiger viewing, John.
Yeah, it was kind of disappointing that the Tigers were winning. They were fun to watch. They have been fun to watch. And then I thought, well, I need to catch the fourth quarter. Because I had the second screen going with the Pistons, and I was keeping up to date, and then I started trolling you guys about the bit that we had about watching the Tigers versus the Pistons in a playoff game. And so I had no idea you were there. I don't know if you had mentioned that last week or I just wasn't paying attention. I had no idea you were there. What the hell were you doing texting us back while you're in the middle of the game?
They got stops.
Huh?
They got stoppages in play.
Yeah, but you're, I mean, you should be all consumed with the game.
I feel like I more than consume the game, John. Trust me.
No, I'm sure, but you were texting back like you were
on the couch.
On the couch, yeah. And so I was continuing the trolling. And then when you sent the video, I thought, oh, what of, because you said, you know,
I sent you a video of like the towels whipping in the final couple
something
minutes
about,
of the game.
You know, 20,000 of your closest friends. And So. Yeah, they did interrupt a really good Tigers game, a very productive Tigers game, a game where they have been doing all the dirty work. It's been Jace Young at third base. He has been marvelous defensively. And Sweeney making plays in the field where when you save a run inning to inning, that's how you end up with a score like we saw yesterday, 7-0, and you just continue to inch away from teams. Baltimore's not a bad team. They're not playing very well right now, and they struggle. Last year, what did we say that they had to add at the trade deadline?
Pitching.
And we thought that was going to be the, hey, Scooble to Baltimore for, you know, all of their great prospects. They still haven't addressed their pitching. They still struggle pitching. But it was, Scooble was, I mean, 11 strikeouts. He was so much fun to watch yesterday.
It's look what you could have had. And we're very happy that he's here.
Oh, yeah. And then the Pistons did interrupt a very good game. After the sixth inning, I turned over and I thought, well, okay, I'll put them on the big screen.
But really quickly on the Tigers, and they'll get more time later. First place in the American League. Best run differential in all of baseball. As good as we thought they could be, they're significantly better. As impressed as we should be.
Tied for the best run differential with the Yankees.
Yeah, that's still first on the ledger there. Yes. Off to a great start, and there's a lot to be impressed with. And John, you are driving the 90-win bus.
Oh, yeah.
And I really thought about coming in today and doing the whole, I can't get on the 90-win bus because I'm on the 95-win bus. But I just want to say I'm with you.
Oh, you're getting on.
I'm officially on board.
Okay.
This team is
even before the end of the month, you're breaking the rules.
They went 8-2 on this homestand.
And what did we say? You wanted to go, hey, over the next 10 wins or 10 games, I'll go 5-5. If they do that, I might get on the bus. You're such a dork.
So they exceeded expectations, and I'm excited about my baseball team.
Yeah, I know.
But and then this is the part of the show, not only am I on the 90-win bus, I'm on the 100-win bus.
Right,
triple
yes,
boogie yeah. fever.
No, not doing that today. Just for context, the Tigers have only won 90 games four times since 87. So this is significant. If you want to cheat it and go to 95, fine, but I'm comfortable saying 90 wins, win the division, this pitching staff, get to the postseason, add a bat, and let's shove off to what could be a great summer here.
They just keep winning series.
Yep.
And I know there's going to be four-game series, but if they – I did the math last week, and I don't exactly remember what the numbers were. If they win two out of every three, like they're going to be well over 100 wins. That's not going to happen. And I'm just cautioning everyone.
I
am on the 90-win bus. There is going to be a period of a seven-game streak where they just can't seem to find a win. Nothing seems to be going their way. They're on a road trip right now where they're going to have, 10 games on the road? You want to do your, I'll take 5-5.
I want some context. When we brought up the 5-5, they had lost two straight games, scored one total run, and it was, hey, can you just stabilize with some good teams coming in? John, they didn't stabilize. They continued to soar. So, yes, I think anybody who has any hiccups or questions with this team, they've answered all of them. They've answered all of them right now.
And Vierling's not even back yet, and Parker Meadows isn't even back yet. And don't look now, but isn't Javi Baez...
John, I have his last 10 games in front of me right now. People might be surprised to hear this. 344.
Yeah. On the season, Javier Baez is batting 301. I mean, it's been so much fun to watch him, and I'm curious. We don't have to answer this question now. I just want something for everyone to ponder on right now. Is he somehow endearing himself back into the good graces of the fan base? Because it's been a rough stretch, and no one has Everyone, 100% of people did not want Javi Baez around. We don't have Javi. We've got Javier. But even the OPS, 716.
Like,
it feels like it's a record-setting season for Javier.
There's been so much damage done, but it's a fair question. And we'll throw that out with everything else, 248-539-9797. The other obvious thing that we have to hit early in the show here, and we'll do it coming up next, John, the NFL draft was over the weekend. It cannot be lost
that little
in all
thing
this.
Called the draft.
Yes. And the Lions, they had a Brad Holmes draft. Very aggressive. Go get your guys. What did he give up? Why did he move up? We'll talk about who we drafted, what we like, what we didn't like. It's next, 97.1. Guys, you don't like going to the dentist. I hear it all the time, but it doesn't have to be stressful. With Brightside Dental, there's no judgment. If it's been a while since you've been to the dentist, or if you have a couple cavities, they're not going to make you feel judged. Sometimes life just got in the way. You moved, you got a new job, got married. You just haven't made those regular appointments. But Brightside Dental is accepting new patients. $35 new patient special covers exams and x-rays. They have 9 Metro Detroit locations, which means there's one right around the corner from you. So make an appointment. Get back in that routine. Call 1-800-PAINLESS. Go to brightsidedental.com. That's Brightside Dental. No judgment, just care. Tigers sweep over the weekend.
Yep.
8-2 on the homestand. Best team in the American League. You wake up today. How's it feel, Detroit? And for Javi, Javier, the rehabilitation of his image, John, I know it's something you want to monitor here. I mean, he had done so much damage to the psyche of baseball fans in the city of Detroit. Has he repaired any of that with people?
And it's not only that, but it's his willingness and just his... It's more of the happy demeanor. Like, he's... almost enjoys playing baseball now, and it's being enjoyed by fans, and it's his willingness to play shortstop, third base, center field. Like, it feels like he kind of just said, you know what? F it. I'm just going to go play baseball. And he's actually doing it. Kind of feels like Spencer Torkelson at the plate. Like, F it. Let's go play baseball.
I think it's better, too, when the team's winning and you're just kind of part of something,
sure,
as opposed to you're an anchor dragging down a struggling baseball team or an offense. So we've got that in the mix. Pistons, we know, we saw the call, the leagues admitted they screwed it up. 6:35, we'll get back into it. The draft, John, what'd you like, what didn't you like?
Well, I like the fact that they addressed what we thought, defensive line, and I know everybody wanted an edge, but a defensive lineman, especially knowing that DJ Reader is old and Aleem McNeil, we have absolutely no idea when he's going to be back. It could be a month into the season. It could be after Thanksgiving. Could be sometime in December. We have no idea. So they added to that position. And I think Tate Rutledge, that was I didn't think he'd be available come what they ended up trading up. So
57.
Maybe he wouldn't have been available at 60. I don't know. But I think it's a absolute perfect fit for this offensive line, and he could be a simply plug and play. Now, the question is going to be, which side do they want to use him on? Because he's played every single game in college at right guard. Are they going to ask Mahogany to go to the left? Are they going to try and get Tate Rutledge to move to left? And that beautiful mullet.
You're a fan?
Oh, I think that is in fact, I'm going to break out the word that I haven't used in so long. That's outstanding. It's unbelievable. Please keep the mullet. It's beautiful.
So you can speak to offensive line play with a lot more technique than I can. I'll just tell you what the scouting report says. Dirt dog mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Mauler. And he allowed 2 sacks in over 1,000 pass blocking snaps 3 years as a starter. Yeah, I like that a lot. You got to have someone up front. We talk about watering the garden. I love the Rutledge pick. We talked about Tyleek Williams, beef on the interior, the defensive line, day one starter, potentially day one starter with your first 2 picks. And anybody upset that they gave up a 4th to move up and get Rutledge? I got no issue with it. We wanted him to be decisive and going and getting his guys. You know, I think the critique might be with the 3rd round pick. People are upset they gave up 2 additional 3rds to move up and take a receiver. But Holmes found Kupp, and he found St. Brown,
mm-hmm.
and he sees a little Nacua in this pick. Big, athletic, upside. We acknowledged receiver at some point in the draft would be a pick. I had no issue with any of it.
No, and I mean, what do we know about wide receiver three? I mean, Tim Patrick, he's a guy that is, you know, a bigger receiver, possession receiver. I think you add to slot to it, now all of a sudden you have a younger version of Tim Patrick who can actually, you know, do a little bit more eventually. There's going to be some growing pains. There's still development. It's rough edges, but the upside of him is he can be what Tim Patrick is. And then if he develops the way that I think Brad Holmes believes he will, and that we kind of all dream about, when J-Mo's no longer there, he moves into a wide receiver two position.
Isaac Tesla?
Yeah.
Or Tesla, however you say his name.
Yeah, Tesla.
Tesla.
Is that French?
Yeah, I believe it is French. And he grew up here, by the way.
Yes.
He grew up here, big fan of the Lions. He's been... You know.
And I'll put this to bed right now. Please, I hope I can put this to bed. It had nothing to do with him being here.
Oh, I know.
Or
but it's
here.
Just a cool little, like, you know,
sure,
feel-good story for us.
It's
not why
us.
Brad Holmes drafted him. The one question I would have is, how can he get to the quarterback? Does he have a good pass rush array? Good swim move? That's the only question, right? I said I like the draft. Are we allowed to bring up Edge?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Yes, you can. Surely
okay.
can.
And we will more in the 7 o'clock hour. Let's get to Heather's news.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, guys. All right. So the body of a Detroit teen who went missing earlier this month was found Saturday, and two suspects are now in custody. Police say 17-year-old London Thomas was last seen April 5th, was reported missing 3 days later. And then, like I said, her body was found Saturday in Southfield by Michigan State Police. This was obviously after weeks and weeks of searching for her. Two people that are believed to be involved in her disappearance are being held. Police have not yet released information on what circumstances led to her death. They're still investigating, but once their investigation is complete, they'll release more detail. So sad ending there for sure. Murder charges have been filed against the suspect who drove their car through a crowd during this street festival in Vancouver. You might have heard about as well. The attack killed 11 people, ranging in age from 5 to 65 years old, injured dozens of others as well. The man responsible is facing 8 counts of second-degree murder. Police say more charges are most likely on their way for this guy. And the suspect has a history of mental health issues. Well, this is an interesting story as well. So the son of Atlanta Falcons defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich is apologizing profusely after prank calling Shedeur Sanders during the NFL draft. So we all know his story, Sanders' story, right? Like, he was supposed to be one of the top picks in the draft, and he didn't go number one, number two, number three. In fact, so he had to wait till day 3 of the draft when he was finally selected by the Cleveland Browns with the 144th pick, right? Which was shocking enough, but there was this mystery also that took place. On day 2 of the draft, on Friday, Sanders was still waiting around. He was with his friends and his family waiting for this call, and his phone rang, right? And the person on the other line said that they were the GM of the New Orleans Saints. And they said, hey, it's been a long wait. We're going to take you with our next pick, but you're going to have to wait a little bit longer. Sorry about that. And then hung up the phone, right? And Sanders was kind of left confused. His friends, family were like, what happened, right? And he's like, I don't know. I'm not really sure. Well, eventually, the prank caller came forward on Sunday, revealing who he was, 21-year-old Jax Ulbrich. He apologized on social media, saying, I'm so sorry I took away from your moment. I was selfish and childish. I could never imagine getting ready to celebrate one of the greatest moments of your life. And I made a terrible mistake, and I messed up with that moment. Obviously, went on and on and on. And the Falcons also apologized to him as well.
I thought that the story was going to come out because he said, I got this phone. Shedeur had gotten this phone and only given it to GMs in front office.
Right.
People. I thought it was going to come out that he had also given it to some friends of his, because when I was being drafted, first, second, third rounds were all on the same day. And my phone would ring. And every time it would ring, I thought, I'm going to this team. And then it would be a buddy who would just, it was like they had ganged up and said, hey, how's it going? And they knew every time the phone would ring that I would get excited.
Of course.
Friends are all a-holes at that time. And I thought it was going to be a situation like that where a friend was doing it, but no, this is too bad.
The son of a former coach and defensive coordinator. It's awful. It's when I heard it, I'm like, oh my God. Like prank calls are funny, but
not in this situation.
This is not.
It's one thing
so
if it's somebody
funny.
You know, and it's another thing if it's not.
Yep. Let's see. Oh, Bill Belichick did an interview, with CBS to like hype up his new book. But they couldn't talk to him about his girlfriend or how he met his 24-year-old girlfriend or his kind of social media presence. So during the interview, he was asked how he met his girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, and he couldn't answer because she was there kind of hanging out in the background. And she kind of awkwardly jumped in and said, "We're not talking about this."
I want to back up. I'm a little confused. I thought we knew how they met.
On a plane, right?
And he signed her book.
Yeah, she was in college.
Why can't he tell that story? See, when you...
I don't know. Sometimes you go into interviews and you agree to do the interview with some parameters. Now, this seems to be a stupid parameter, but if they agreed ahead of time that, hey, we're not going to... We want this to be about football. We want this to be about the book. We're not going to have this other.
She's the one that was like, no.
Oh, I know. Yeah,
but he writes about her in the book.
I know. So it's about his life.
I feel like it's just a natural question about Bill.
I agree.
But everything about Bill Belichick from her.
Everything about Bill Belichick is awkward. Why would this be any different?
It's Heather with the news. All right, coming up next, the league has said they screwed up. Pistons fans, we'll talk to you next. 97.1.
Hey guys, it's Heather, and if you're like me, you like knowing what to expect, especially when it comes to your phone bill. Well, Verizon's got some big news for your peace of mind. For the first time ever, they're locking in low prices for 3 years. That's right, 3 years guaranteed with my plan. So if you're thinking about making the switch to Verizon, this is for you. You can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's Verizon's best price ever on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. And again, that price is locked in for 3 whole years. Because at Verizon, they got your back now and in the future. So go ahead and take one thing off your worry list. Visit your local Verizon store in Detroit and ask about their 3-year price guarantee today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
George Blaha on the radio call on Sunday. Pistons lose game 4, down 3-1 in the series. After the game, the league said,
Oops,
it was a foul.
Our bad.
And the guys on TNT I saw later joked, all right, have Hardaway come out an hour later and have him shoot those free throws. John, them admitting after the fact does nobody any good.
No, but there were missed calls in the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter. This is the most dramatic of them because of when it happened, and it could have given the Pistons an opportunity to hit one of three free throws, to send it to overtime, to hit two of the three. And what do we know about Tim Hardaway? Like, he could be a little streaky here and there, but he's good at shooting free throws. Two of the three would have put them up one, and with the opportunity to tie the series 2-2. So the ramifications are very dramatic. Going back to New York down 3-1 versus 2-2, it's huge. There's no question about it. Even if they had home court advantage or were coming back and that happened in New York, it's huge being down 3-1.
No, it is. I get in the moment being incredibly frustrated at the league, at the call, at the lack of call. I understand the emotions of it, but I do wonder as you wake up the next day, if we can take a deep breath, because it does nobody any good to complain. And actually, I think it's a bad look. We have sat here and said, swallow the whistle. If it ain't rough, it ain't right. Play physical. I don't need these bailout calls. Effectively, Pistons fans wanted to be bailed out after Cade, who I love, screwed up and missed the shot at the end of the game. After the team blew an 11-point lead in front of a great crowd. But now we want to do bottom lip out. Give us the call. And I understand the call should have been made. But guys, if we want to be swallow the whistle, tough, rugged basketball, I don't think we should be complaining about the officiating today.
And I don't know that I can't say never. Nothing ever comes to mind of I'm never going to blame a call at the end of the game as the reason for a loss. There's many reasons that happen throughout the course of an entire game of why you don't win. And I know that it comes down to a single moment. You fight, you scratch, you claw for that opportunity. That opportunity was taken away, but the opportunity for Cade to hit a game winner was there. The opportunity to put it away when you're up 11, when you have a third quarter where you double up your opponent 28-14, when you have opportunities throughout the course of a game so it doesn't come down to an officiating call, I always go back to those moments.
Yeah, they came up one play short, and that's a tough pill to swallow. No one wants to look in the mirror and say that. I do wonder if you wake up the next day if your opinions have softened it all a little bit. Or if you're just flat out irate and mad at the league, let us know. 248-539-9797.
If this was a perfectly played game on both sides, no missed shots, no missed calls, everything was as it should be leading up to the Pistons being 93-94, down one, and then Tim Hardaway, and that's the only thing that you could point to, then sure. They lost because of an officiating call. But that's not the case. There are many moments throughout the course. If they just make one more shot during the course of the game, things are different.
How about Hardaway, instead of dunking, lays it in at the end of the third quarter? That's 2 points.
Yeah.
There are a lot of plays over the course of the game. And I know you're saying, well, if this call's made, they win the game. I know that's the point from Pistons fans out there. I get that. Put the shoe on the other foot. If Brunson's standing in the corner, does a little shot fake, jumps and leans a little, and does the thing you do in the NBA, how would Pistons fans feel if he's at the free throw line at the end of that game? You go, well, here we go again with this.
I think the argument's going to be, if that is the New York Knicks, if it's Jalen Brunson, he gets that call.
Right.
That's going to be the argument.
But all series we've said, don't give him that call. Right?
Yeah,
and all game that was refereed that game was officiated that way, though.
Tim Hardaway Jr. was not baiting a foul in that one.
No, he pumped and then he kind of leans in on the way up to really accentuate the contact, which I get you're supposed to do as a shooter. I'm not mad at Hardaway Jr. over it, but if you're going to say swallow the whistle, and for the entirety of that game, they really did let him play. Yeah. No neutral party fan wants to see a game ended at the free throw line. Make the shot. You had 11 seconds with the best player on your team with the ball in his hand, and he got a good look, and he missed the shot. And then the ball bounces around, and we go bail us out. That's not Detroit basketball.
Mm-hmm. It's just unfortunate it came down to that one moment. And everybody's going to point to that one moment, and rightfully so. It's okay to do. I'm not going to sit here and chastise you if you say, yeah, we lost because of the officiating. I would just like to point out that there were many calls on both sides throughout the course of the game. Ones that were called. That could have gone either way. And I'm not going to sit there and say that the very final call is what cost them the game.
Yeah, again, you got a double-digit fourth-quarter lead at home with a great crowd. And a player who, hey, I'm a Cade guy, has a chance to win the game.
Yeah.
And instead we're talking about the league.
Where were you sitting in relation to that shot? Was it on the opposite side or?
No, I was on that side.
Oh, you were on that side. Yeah. Oh, yeah, were you going nuts?
Well, yeah, because you're thinking, oh, he missed the shot, and then you're watching the ball roll on the baseline.
Yeah.
And I look up, I wanted to see the replay because everybody was like, how is that not a foul? And I'm thinking, was there contact up near the arms and the ball?
And there wasn't. Bodied him up.
It was, you know, side body contact that people wanted to call for. And the league said it should have been called. So I'm not disputing whether it was a foul or not. The league said it should have been called. But I just think it for a city and for a fan base that does this thing, like, we don't need anybody, us against the world. It's kind of a whiny look afterwards to distill it all the way down to one call when you had so many opportunities to win that game at home.
Yeah, many opportunities.
Let's get to the phone calls. 248-539-9797. Tobias and Grand Blanc, you're on 97.1.
What's up, guys? Good morning.
Good morning.
I don't think I could disagree more with Jim. I just, the fans here are tired of watching Brunson foul bait, and the refs bailed him out on 3-point fouls multiple times earlier in the series on ones where he gives the ball fake and then he leans into the defender, not making a natural shooting motion. this is an instance of why I think the fans wanted the foul call, is because Hardaway Jr. goes up for the shot, gives him a pump fake, Hart jumps into him, and he does a normal shooting motion. Hardaway doesn't lean into him at all. He goes up like his normal jump shot, gets clearly bumped, and there's no call. And if the shoe was on the other foot, and it was Brunson in the corner, he would have leaned into him, would have tried to draw more contact, and would have got the call 100 times out of 100. And I think that's why fans are upset about it, is because if the shoe was on the other foot, they get the call by doing something that's not natural and trying to draw more contact instead of doing what the actual rule is, whereas if the guy impedes his space when he's shooting in a natural shooting motion, it's a foul. Mm-hmm. They call it every time. If it's in the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, they're going to call that foul every single time, but the ref doesn't have the guts to call it when the game's on the line. Cost Pistons the game, probably going to cost them the series. So, yeah, it is a big deal.
Oh, I'm not disputing the big deal. I mean, John brought it up, 2-1 versus 3-1. I mean, right. Just surface level, I get that. And literally, it's the final play of the game. You don't have to sell us on it being a big deal.
What's going to cost them the series is not being able to hold a lead. They did it in game one. They did it in game three. They've now done it in game four.
Game three, they were coming back. They were trailing for most of it. But yeah, two different losses in this series. They've had significant fourth quarter leads. I mean, that's as big a story. And the other big story is the only win the Pistons have is when Karl-Anthony Towns was a ghost in game two.
Right. Sorry, it wasn't game three. It was game two where they nearly blew it and then it actually ended up winning.
But I think a big story is not Tobias Harris. Karl-Anthony Towns hits two very big shots at the end of that game. He hits the baseline turnaround jumper, and then he hits the step back three in the final couple minutes of that game. And that's not Brunson. That's a 1-2 punch that the Knicks have that the Pistons don't have. I mean, if we want to talk about why the series is going south, to distill it down to one foul call is ridiculous. And we'll take more phone calls next. 248-539-9797. I know Pistons fans are hot today. After sleeping on it, how do you feel? It's 97-1. Guys, I got your pick for the best dealership in town. We're talking Moran Chevrolet, Michigan's number one selling Chevy dealer in 2024. At Moran, you can lease a 2025 Silverado. It's the LT Crew Cab 4x4 for $298 a month. Low mileage lease, 24 months, $1,495 down. Plus, employee pricing for everyone. Moran, great sponsor for all our draft week coverage year after year. Check them out, Moran Chevrolet, where you always get the best price. Period. Visit MoranExpress.com. You can stop by in person. They're on Gratiot north of 15 Mile in Clinton Township. Chevrolet, together let's drive. JB Bickerstaff after the game. Piston phone calls to get to. Game ends with no call. League says afterwards, we screwed up. Doesn't do anybody any good, but a lot of people are upset. We'll knock out those phone calls. 248-539-9797. Dominic in Harrison Township. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. I just wanted to say, so obviously nobody wants to see the game end on free throws. I don't think we as fans realize this is the playoffs now. When are we going to understand that? Is it going to have to take to game seven? What about game seven of the finals? When are we going to get that, hey, maybe leaning into a defender is not the best way to end the game? I get that it was a natural shooting motion, but to me it did look like he moved a little bit in the way of the defender when he could have maybe just took one dribble underneath, maybe leaned to the left away from the defender. If you had to pick, hey, give me two shots at the end of the game or give me one shot that misses and then try to draw a crappy foul call, what are you going to choose? And on top of that, we're Detroit fans. We've been getting screwed on calls our whole lives, especially the past 10 years, it feels like. So I don't understand why everybody's so surprised. I thought it was a good game. We had two decent looks, and maybe it was muscle memory from Tim Hardaway to try to draw that foul. But, I don't hate the no call. I think that's something that's good for the players. They're going to have to get used to not getting those calls. This is Detroit, and this is the playoffs.
Well, we've talked about how we want the series to not be officiated that way, and the game was officiated in a swallow-your-whistle rough and rugged Pistons way, and the Pistons used that to roar all the way back end of the second quarter and all of the third quarter and built up an 11-point fourth quarter lead. Then at the end of the game, you get a buzzer bump, and we say the game should end at the free throw line. You had your chances. And John, I'm not alone in this. You echo that. Having played professional sports, you've got your chances.
There are so many things that lead up to the end of the game that make it a 1 or a 2-point game that bring it down to the final shot. That's the course of the game. There are so many things that happen that in the first quarter, and this is a young team that has to learn that, that if you capitalize on moments, you had 17 turnovers. Is one of those opportunities that you gave back to New York, could that have been the game-winning shot in the second quarter? Not knowing that, but it changes the course. And then you have no idea how New York responds. That's the fallacy of, well, if you did this in the second quarter, you win the game. Well, you give yourself a better odds to win the game, but you have no idea what New York does to respond or change how they progress throughout the game.
I hate blaming officials. I really do. I think you know that, John. I mean, I go back to 2016 with Michigan and Ohio State. They didn't lose the game because of the spot. Okay?
They should never
been
there.
And they didn't lose the game yesterday just because of that call. However, I do think you guys are estimating just the fact that if they made the right call, which the refs admitted they didn't, they should have. And that the admission's a huge thing for me here is that, okay, we saw it, but they admitted they got it wrong, the people that matter. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to Greg, just a kind of a rough guess. Greg's good with numbers. And I go, if they make the call, the right call, mm-hmm. he makes 2 of 3 yes. probably, and they win the game. Yes. And it's 2-2. Yeah. Now, I believe they have way bigger problems, and they still wouldn't win this series under those circumstances. But probably a 90% chance, roughly, that this series is 2-2 if they simply make the right call. You had an 85% free throw shooter that was going to mm-hmm. go to the line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I'm not going to disagree with that. I think you're right.
No one.
If
I don't
make the
anybody,
right call, yeah. they more than likely win that game.
But they're losing this series because they can't close in the fourth quarter.
Which is the bigger issue.
In their three losses, they've scored 69 points in the fourth quarter.
It's a hell of a stat. Let's get back to the phones. 248-539-9797. Scott in Brooklyn, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
So I was at the game yesterday, and I tell you what, the fans, they brought their lunch pails and hard hats because that place was absolutely electric. But I couldn't agree with you guys most. As Pistons fans, been a Piston fan for a long time, we don't want the games to be given to us, call or no call. The bottom line is the Pistons, they got to get better. They got to get better defensively. It really hurts to have Beef Stew out because he was – I think one of the best defenders we have to defend Karl-Anthony Towns. Yep. And then that one of the last shots that Towns hit, Durin hedged off to guard Brunson, right?
Just for
Brunson
a step.
Brunson kicked
yep.
it out.
Yep.
And it hits the wide open three. And I tell you, Cat and Brunson, they hit daggers in that fourth quarter. Every time we make a run, we go up 11, then here comes Towns and Brunson just killing us. And, you know, the bottom line is we got to make better adjustments, and we got to get better. You can't turn the ball over. We have, 36 turnovers in two games. You lose by 3 points, but there's opportunity after opportunity that gets squandered. Like, I can't remember. Every time we had a fast break, the crowd would be on their feet when that ball got kicked out to Hardaway or Beasley, ready for the roof to pop off, only to miss it. You know, Beasley and Hardaway, they got to shoot better too. And to your point, Cookies, Cade needs a running mate, right? We don't have that guy right now. So,
yeah, it's a nice boost that the Knicks have Towns and we don't. And it's supposed to be a collective, but collectively they haven't given enough. So Beasley, for a large stretch of that game, I'm going, is this guy shooting himself out of a contract? I mean, he's got to make some big shots at some point, and I thought the slow start took the crowd out of it. But John, he's right. As that game got ramped up, as they made their move, you had the crowd, everybody's on their feet, they're whipping those white towels, they're chanting defense. It's a loud, raucous environment. And I hate that in that environment, they blew an 11-point lead. Yeah, but that gets lost because the refs admit they screwed up the final call. But it shouldn't be lost is that this team still needs to close games.
And this is when we talk about you don't want to just get in and lose. You don't want to just get in and get blown out in a series, but you've got to learn the very tough lessons. And the tough lessons that the Pistons are learning is, and we thought that a lesson had been learned from game one to game two. You got to be able to manage a fourth quarter lead. You've got to be able to step on the throat of an opponent and actually put them away. It's much more difficult in the playoffs, especially when you have a good player like Jalen Brunson or Karl-Anthony Towns, a 1-2 punch. I get that it's not an easy thing to do, but this is the lesson. When we talk about getting to the postseason for a young team, we'll eventually, I don't know when, but we'll eventually talk about it with the Wings. There are lessons that have to be learned in the postseason. The pace of play, the intensity, everything is ramped up. And until you experience it, until you feel it, you don't know what that's like.
I'm sure there's someone listening this morning on their way into work or driving around with their hand in the air going, but we did close the game out. We just didn't get the call. And by putting it in the official's hands, you didn't close it out. If Cade hits that shot, which he created the separation, he got a good mid-range jumper that he's hit a million times. He hits that shot, a little early in the shot clock for me, but he hits the shot. You have the lead.
Yeah,
that's a closeout move. What's not a closeout move is fumbling for the ball on the baseline and it rolls in the corner and we're jumping into guys and we're give us free throws. Detroit has never been give us free throws. As a city, we're not give us free throws. Don't bail us out. We got to win that game. 248-539-9797. Let's get to Rob in Detroit. Rob, I know you do not agree with us.
No, I don't agree with you guys. And the only reason why I don't agree is because, you know, I agree with the fact that we're lacking execution at the end of the game. But fouls is a part of the game. Referee is a part of the game through the whole game. So what is the purpose of having the referee out there if he don't make the call like he's supposed to make the call?
They were not calling that stuff all game. Do you want it called consistently? I think that's the way Pistons fans would prefer the series be called in general. Right? Is that not the
yes,
tenor of the series?
But the difference is, and I guarantee you, if that's Jalen Brunson, he gets that call.
And I guarantee you we're mad if he gets the call. You get what I'm saying?
Okay, but he gets and he's shooting free throws, Hardaway's not.
Rob, you'd be cool if Brunson got that call. You wouldn't be complaining about the way the league is and this is stupid and let him play at the end. You wouldn't be saying that?
Of course, I will have a problem. It's a one-way street. It has to be a two-way street. It's supposed to go both ways. So when that man got fouled, no matter how it turned out, where Kay missed the shot, ball was fumbling, it got knocked over the Hardaway, he tried to get a foul for the – what happened, it happened. And he's supposed to have that opportunity, just like Brunson had the opportunity.
I get it. I'm saying Pistons fans didn't want Brunson to have the opportunity, so they shouldn't want anybody to have the opportunity. It should be a two-way street that way. Now, you want to tell me this is the league and it should have been called the league? Cop to it. They said it should have been called. Ticket Texter says Game 5 tomorrow should open with 3 free throws to determine the result of Game 4.
That'd be awesome.
In the result of a tie, you play a 5-minute overtime to finish Game 4 before starting Game 5.
Nice little warm-up.
We'll take it under advisement. More phone calls next, 97.1.